B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so one more item to put on the board here in terms of our quarterback conversation. Mel Kiper has the Patriots. He has him trading up for Trey Lance, right? That was his last mock draft?
Yeah. I think that's right, yep.
Okay. He also said this about another draft-eligible quarterback. I think is this from Mike Reese?
Yeah, this was in Reese's notes, yeah.
Okay. Former Patriots offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss is high on Alabama's Mac Jones as a quarterback of the future, and ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. sees similarities between Mac Jones and Weiss's first New England quarterback pupil. Quote, "I hate to say it, but he," meaning Mac Jones, "kind of has a little bit of Brady in him," Kiper said. "I'm not saying he's ever going to be Tom Brady. He wouldn't be close, probably. But he has that competitiveness, and he's so smart. He picked that offense up at the Senior Bowl like it was nothing. Other quarterbacks were struggling with the verbiage, and boom, he was in and out of the huddle quicker than anybody I've ever seen." Kiper went on Mac Jones. He sees the field. He's tremendously accurate to all levels. He doesn't have the wow arm like Brady didn't either coming out into the league. And like Brady, he's not real mobile, not a runner. But biding time, slipping and sliding, he did it in the championship game, so there are some similarities there. So Mel Kiper praising Mac Jones, Charlie Weiss praising Mac Jones. I think it was Mike Tannenbaum who said he would take Mac Jones number one in the
Correct.
Entire draft.
Yeah.
I think he said that this morning. So, Murray, I can already smell the tone in your voice.
Yeah, because Mel Kiper's been at this a long time, and you would think he would know better. Don't make comparisons to Tom Brady for any college quarterback, no matter how highly touted that they are. He's an a-hole if he thinks this. And if this is what they think, which is even worse, I'll remind you and everyone else, these a-holes didn't even see Tom Brady and Tom Brady at the time. That's why I went in the sixth round, pick 199. Don't make comparisons to Tom Brady at this point in his career with seven rings to any collegiate quarterback. You just sound like a complete idiot.
I mean, I think anybody comparing anybody to Brady is stupid. Like, there's just a guy. The guy is a unicorn. I mean, to use a hackneyed term, there's nobody like him. There's never been anybody like him. So, you know, now look, you want to tell me that Mac Jones can be a good game manager, makes good decisions, and can handle pressure? You might be right. I think he's a hard guy to evaluate.
Right.
And again, if the Patriots take him in the first round and he can play, I'll have no issue with it whatsoever. I wouldn't take him in the first round. But if he can play, it doesn't matter where they take him. You can't, you know, if he's good, he's worth, you know, the number one pick. Like, you can't make a mistake if you pick him and he can play.
Just say fast learner, brainy, reads defense
right,
as well.
Right.
All of that, fine. You know, I might be wrong. I think it's more about the talent that was at Alabama than it was him. I hope I'm wrong. And if he works out here, that's who they draft, great. Like, they found the guy. Don't make comparisons to Tom Brady because my antenna goes up that you're trying to sell me a load of crap.
Well, you know how this goes. I mean, that's what they do with all these guys. They say, who does he project as or who does he remind you of? And so they pick identifiable NFL players. And, what do they call the kid from BYU, Murray?
Oh, Mormon Mahomes, yeah.
Okay, so it's like, it's you know.
Even that's dumb. Yeah.
I think it's sort of common to do that so we all can sort of, I don't know, identify the college kid. But either way. I wonder if there's momentum building for that player. And if they do that, fine. Like, I'm with you. I don't feel like he should be drafted that high. Mac Jones, I'm talking about. But what the hell do I know? If he works, I don't care where you draft him. What I do think is that Bill's not going to play him early. I mean, I would be stunned if, you know, all these rookies have got to sit. You know, whether they're freaking, you know, nickelbacks, defensive backs, defensive ends. None of these guys, tight ends. Like, your young tight ends barely got on the field or barely, you know, saw the ball this year, which is par for the course. We talked about this a lot with Greg Bedard. It's like Bill hates rookies. He hates quarterbacks and he hates rookies. So put the two together. How does he feel about a rookie quarterback? So even if it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance, I would be stunned if those guys played a lot as a rookie. So I still think our other conversation's still on the board. What cheap-ass veteran who's going to kiss Bill's ass is coming here? Because I think even if they draft a guy, they get one of these guys. Alex Smith let go today, or reported he's going to be let go today in Washington. Alex Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick, Maz?
Smith.
Fitzpatrick.
Smith.
Murray, why Fitzpatrick? Smith. Murray, let me ask you. Let's say Alex Smith's leg is fine, you know? I mean, you still have the broken leg, but let's say that he checks out, he got through the season healthy, and you're not worried about the leg going forward. What, why is it Ryan Fitzpatrick over Alex Smith?
No, so that's the, this really has more to do about his leg, because I said earlier, the his Alex Smith's leg at this point is the equivalent of Cam Newton's throwing arm. Like, it's shot. It's done. If Alex Smith was fine, we had to, like, all the medicals clear, checks out, I will go Smith over Fitzpatrick because he's more careful with the ball. Less turnovers. He's a better game manager.
There you go.
Yeah. But as presently constituted, no, show me your Fitz. I want Fitzpatrick.
Was Alex Smith's injury related to the broken leg, or was it a whole separate injury?
So I thought it was the same leg. I remember at the time there were differing reports that some said it was the other leg, some said it was the same leg, and I still don't know.
Either way, ticking time bomb. That whole lower quadrant is now a mess. So now he's putting more torque and more stress on the good leg, and it's all a matter of time before that one blows up too.
I'd still take a shot. Again, if I'm the Patriots at this stage, if they're looking at the kind of clowns that they're looking at, then I'm bringing three or four of them into camp anyway, including Stidham. Like, you know, to me, it's not going to be a clear-cut thing. So barring their willingness to take on a guy who's, you know, a Garoppolo, then the rest of them, to me, yes, bring them in and see what they got. And if you want to cut his ass at the end of camp, cut him.
Maz, Alex Smith or Marcus Mariota?
Alex Smith.
Why?
Because I know what he is. Again, I'm looking for a stopgap guy. I'm not looking for a long-term solution. So if you want to tell me you're looking for a guy for 3 years, 5 years, until they can find the next franchise guy, then Mariota's probably the right choice. He's younger. There's upside there. Absolutely. I think I'm focused on 2021, and I think Alex Smith's a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota.
Here is what we're doing right here is the DN Van Lines move around the league. Now, this is not in my read. It's not part of the endorsement, but I'm just going to subtitle the DN Van Line move around the league today as what subservient ass-kissing bag of crap with a cheap contract is going to come to the New England Patriots. This is brought to you by DN Van Lines. In sports, making moves are tough decisions. When moving your home or business, the decision is simple. Go with my mover, DN Van Lines, at 1-800-51-MOVER or dnvanlines.com. You know, again, the Volan thing is I find almost offensive. Like, I mean, don't you hate any business or any company where it's about the ass kisser? You know, the boss just wants the ass kisser, you know.
Yeah, people that fail upwards just because, you know, they're a perfect soldier and say the right thing and, oh God.
And just the whole money thing, too. It's like, I already heard it today from Zoe. It's like, now the Arizona Cardinals are stupid. The Arizona Cardinals are stupid because they want to win and they spent money on J.J. Watt. Stupid, dumb team spend money. No, I'd much rather be the Patriots roster, though, that has spent less than any team in the league the last 5 years, has the lowest actual cash spent, and their roster effing blows. That, to me, feels much smarter, right? Wouldn't you rather spend the absolute least amount in the league and have a roster that is the absolute worst? Isn't that much smart? That's smart. Woohoo! That's smart. Now, that's a team that I want to be.
Definitely.
A team that spends the least and has a horrible roster.
Except a guard.
Versus a team that wants to win and so is overspending a bit to get over the hump and be the, and to win. Boy, I would hate to be the Cardinals. I hate to be a Cardinals fan today. They're stupid. They want to win. I mean, really. J.J. Watt, $31 million, 23 guaranteed over 2 years. That's probably too much. It is too much.
Seems high.
But is it grotesque? I mean, he was going to make $10 million a year. He made 15, 16 the last couple of years. He's a big name and still has something left and is sort of a fit for a team that is a couple pieces away, right? Like in that. So he's going to make at least 10, and his guarantee is probably like, well, it's 23 over 2, so it's just under 12 a year guaranteed. It's not that outrageous.
Stupid.
Nope.
I'm kidding.
They're stupid. No. Yeah, they want to win. They're stupid. No, you're much smarter to actually spend nothing on your roster and be what the Patriots are, which is a wretched, unwatchable roster. Much smarter. Well, that's smart. That's a smart team. God, like, I mean, after this last year, how can you still carry on like that? You know, I mean, it's just your spendthrift ways, your bottom of the league cash spending has produced a horrible roster. And it turns out, if last year didn't prove it to you, that Brady was propping it up. So now the quarterback's gone, and you're left strictly at the merits of your cheap-ass roster. I'm supposed to look at you as being smart for not spending for this horrible roster? How is that smart?
Yeah, but Felga, Kyler Murray's on a rookie contract.
How's Arizona stupid? They want to win. So they're spending money for a player that they think puts them over the top. That money's not going to kill them. It's not going to break their bank. What's that? It's $11 million guaranteed plus. Like, their salary cap's $185 million. They'll figure it out. I mean, God, I hate that commentary. That commentary would be a far more, I don't know, I think would have far more juice if you were any good. If you lose Tom Brady and win with your cheap-ass roster, they say, yeah, well, you're pretty smart. Okay, you can cheap out on your roster and win. I got it. But you didn't. You didn't. You suck. You haven't spent on your roster, and you suck. Why am I supposed to think you're smart now all of a sudden? Like, I don't – that doesn't compute. You need the scoreboard behind you to have that to have – you know. And when Brady was here, we could debate it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't spend, but they won. So they're pretty smart. Okay. Well, was that you or was that Brady? Well, we could debate it. We didn't know, right? Well, now Brady's gone, you suck. Now Brady's gone, and you suck. And your roster's horrible. Why am I supposed to think you're still smart? Like, God, that frustrates me. But here we go again. Like, I guess that wasn't enough. I guess that didn't set people straight enough. That last year, that last horrible, embarrassing year did not set enough people straight. I guess everyone else who spends money is stupid. The Rams are stupid. The Cardinals are stupid. The Colts are stupid. Anyone who does anything or spends any money is dumb. But you're the smart one, though, with the horrible roster at 7-9. Okay. I guess you're the smart ones.
STOOPID. Stupid.
I thought last year would have knocked that out of everybody.
Nope.
Oh, no, I mean, they're dug in.
I mean, how am I supposed to think that you're smart? There's all these quarterbacks out there who are available, and you're going to stick with the guy that just kisses the coach's ass and has a cheap contract, and that's smart?
No, he was affected by COVID, Felger.
Yeah, he was in the fog.
I mean, we're debating Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, Gardner Minshew. Like, that's the smart team?
So, when you put it that way, wow.
So that's a team we're talking about. That's the smart one.
Oh, remember, they only had $2.75 million committed to quarterback last year, and they had plenty of cap space.
Meanwhile, Arizona, who has a good young quarterback, just traded for one of the best receivers in the league and just added a defensive player who they think is going to help put him over the top, probably overpaid for him a little bit. But either way, that team's dumb.
Stupid.
Okay.
But if that sets some kind of precedent, though, guys, like, what is Belichick going to have to pay a good player? Like, what would he have to give Allen Robinson to convince him to come here?
No, he's not.
Nothing, no, I know, but I'm just saying, coming.
Hypothetically.
Don't even bother with that. Don't even bother with that stuff. There's no way. So we'd all take...
you get a better chance of getting Mrs. Robinson.
We'd all take Alex Smith. Even Murray, grudgingly, it feels like, would take Alex Smith. A good friend of ours wouldn't. We'll just play a little highlight of that as we come back and take your calls. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Mass and I have talked positively about him. I would like Alex Smith. Greg, what do you think?
For next year? For after going through this year?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Why?
Alex Smith? Are you kidding me? Like,
he's better than Cam Newton.
From Cam Newton to Alex Smith, like that's your progress at the quarterback position?
Yep. It is. It is progress.
Holy cow.
You go from bottom of the league to at least average.
As opposed to what? Cam Newton to Cam Newton?
Like, what, you're saying Cam Newton hasn't been average this year? He wasn't last week, but you're saying he hasn't been average this year?
He hasn't been average since the first month of the season, Greg. He's been well below average since the first month of the season.
Greg, they rank in the bottom five in the league in passer rating.
You're saying that this offense would be good with anybody else at quarterback? How were they last year with Brady? How'd they finish last year?
Average. That's all I'm looking for is average. Can you give me average? He's been below average.
Let's go from Brady was average last year, Cam Newton's below average this year. Let's go to average next year with Alex Smith. I thought you're Mr. Quarterback. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Alex Smith next year. I am allowing them to, you know, take a step back to average. I'm not allowing them to take a step back to the bottom of the league. I don't know why you're getting all hot and bothered there, big fella. You started off the show talking about quarterback play and Mark Sanchez. So I don't get where you're coming from now.
You're Mr. I want the next guy. I need it for the next 10 years. I'd rather do this to be the next 10 years. And next year, your solution for the Patriots at quarterback is Alex freaking Smith? What's wrong with you?
Greg, he advocated for Brian Hoyer. Why are you surprised by this?
Alex Smith is my placeholder. If Cam Newton were average or slightly above average, I'd say fine, stick with him as the placeholder. He's been well below average for over a month, and it feels like the arrow's going down. He's not getting any better. So, yes, Alex Smith is a substantial upgrade over Cam, at least the old Alex Smith. I don't know, you know, if he can maintain it with half a leg or whatever, but the old Alex Smith is a pretty big upgrade over Cam Newton. I'm sorry, he is.
I was just going to say, this discussion is as stupid as the opinion you just stated, and I'm done with it.
So Alex Smith in, Greg Bedard out, safe to say. Back to calls here on Everything on a Reentry Monday. Guys in Boston. Hi, Guy.
I love this show. I got to tell you, I couldn't believe that list of crap quarterbacks you showed on the TV. They're better off going to Xavierian High School to draft. And, Mike, you're telling me that San Francisco's getting Teddy Bridgewater to back up Jimmy G in case he gets hurt. You mean when he gets hurt. And you know something? I ain't going to call anymore because I'm expounding too much knowledge to you guys. All I can say is go Bucks. And Bill sucks. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
I like that. It rhymes. Go Bucks and Bill sucks.
No, I mean, I do think Bridgewater was a call as a backup, you know, or 1-1A, you know, what Mariota was last year, what Andy Dalton was last year. Like, those were, take this in the spirit with which I'm going to say it, premium backups, you know, like those were quarterbacks. And Bridgewater's guarantee is $10 million. He's a little bit more than those other guys. But, you know, the high-end backup. That's what I think. I don't think they would call, Carolina to replace Garoppolo with Bridgewater. I hope that's the case, but I don't think so. George in New Hampshire on Cam Newton. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know if you guys realize this, but Newton's last two seasons in Carolina, he was basically done then, okay? And furthermore, his last year there, they tried to move him, and they couldn't get squat for him.
Oh, yeah, no, he's been done for a while. But he kisses Bill's ass and he has a cheap contract. So because you're smart and everyone else is stupid, that's what you're going with. Because that's what the smart teams do. They bring back quarterbacks who just only kiss the coach's ass and take cheap contracts. That means you're a smart team. If you spend money, you're dumb.
So when the caller says, I don't know if you guys know this, like, does he think that we want Newton back? Like, who wants Cam Newton back other than potentially Bill?
Bill Belichick's praise for Cam Newton throughout the 2020 season was not an act, says Ben Volen. Multiple sources who have spoken with Belichick this offseason said he does nothing but rave about Newton and the effort the quarterback put forth in 2020. The only problem Belichick is concerned with is Newton's arm strength. Huh, you don't say. With Newton having suffered multiple shoulder injuries in the last 5 years, Belichick did seem to genuinely enjoy coaching Newton, however, and multiple sources said they would not be surprised to see Newton back with the Patriots, especially if he's willing to take another cheap contract. Again, you don't say.
I mean, it pained me to read it, too, because it really doesn't matter if he can play or not anymore, which he can't. It's because from a personality standpoint, he's not Tom Brady. He'll take Bill's crap. He won't talk back. He's not bigger than the team. Doesn't act that way.
And he's cheap.
And he's cheap. That's it. So,
well, that's what smart teams do.
I mean, it really is insulting. I mean, it's insulting.
Smart teams prioritize the head coach's fragile ego and their budget. And the dumb teams spend on talent. That's when you know you're a real dumbass. You go out and you spend. Tony and Stoneham, go ahead, Tony. What do you got?
I got the one solution for this. But before I get to that, you had a caller come in Friday after I got off and was all over me and Brady and blah, blah, blah. What he didn't tell you is last year Tampa Bay was 7-9 without Brady. Now, here's what the Patriots have to do. They have to get creative. They have to find their quarterback and sign a contract with him. And they give the quarterback 21 days to get out of it if they don't get the enough receivers that the quarterback is happy with. Do it the reverse. Get the receivers and then go after the quarterback.
No shot.
Sure. Sure. With a player option that is going to sign a guy. Now, this is what smart teams do. They don't just spend money like on talent. So those are for dumb teams. The smart teams find cheap, subservient quarterbacks who just kiss the and massage the coach's fragile ego. But we are going to, because we're smart. We're going to build in a player option after 21 days. And if we still suck as badly as it looks, you can leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
No. I mean, because don't the Patriots always give power to the player? Really? And so if they were going to do that sort of thing, don't you think they would have done it for Tom Brady? Don't you think they would have done it for Tom? They wouldn't do it for Brady. They're going to do it off of some jamoke coming off the street? No shot.
So
the last thing they'll do is give leverage to someone else, unless you're the owner and Brady wants to leave, in which case, apparently, they will do that.
Here's the deal. The quarterbacks they're talking about are so lousy and are so unwanted, they don't need to sell them on anything. So it's not like, you know, oh, Alex Smith, will you stick around for 21 days to see if we'll find receivers? Alex Smith doesn't have a job unless you give him one. Just like last year, Cam Newton doesn't have a job unless you give him one. So what you're basically looking at is a group of quarterbacks who, if you don't give them a job, they probably won't have one. All right, so I don't know if Marcus Mariota is starting anywhere else, or Gardner Minshew is starting anywhere else, or Cam Newton is starting anywhere else. I don't know. Maybe, but I doubt it. Or Fitzpatrick is going to start anywhere else, or Alex Smith is going to start anywhere else. This is pretty much it. So they need you, which is right where you want them. You can give them whatever contract you want, and they got to kiss your ass. And that's it. That's what they're looking for at quarterback. I don't know if you could tell, but the whole thing about calling the Cardinals stupid for spending money goes right up my mail chute. It's like I just find it. And it used to be when you were winning, you know, I guess you had that in your corner. Even though I don't think that had anything to do with anything, at least you could say that. At least you could say that. We don't spend and look at us. So we're smart and everyone else is stupid. Now you suck. Now you suck. And your roster is a bottom five roster in the league. So you've now got to tell me why you're smart and the people who spend are stupid. It's just, it goes right up my keister.
With good reason.
Here's Murray's update. We're back with the Red Sox Minute on a reentry Monday, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's a reentry Monday. Everything on the board from the weekend. The Sox have started to play down in Fort Myers, and Maz has a Red Sox thought for you. What do we got, Maz?
So the big one for me is Garrett Richards, who took the mound today in his first start as a member of the Red Sox. This guy is the ace of your staff. I just want people to realize that. He's the ace of your rotation. Chris Sale is out. He will not pitch for the start of the year. You're probably not going to see Chris Sale until the All-Star break. Everybody else, and you know what? I should temper that because Eduardo Rodriguez, I guess, technically would be the ace of the staff. He's the most accomplished returning guy that they have, although he didn't pitch last year. Garrett Richards might have the biggest upside, has had some good success in the major leagues when healthy. You know what he did today in his first outing?
What did he do?
Ball one, ball two, rope double. Ball one, ball two, ball three, ball four, first and second. Then ball one, ball two, rope single. Then he got a guy out. Then he walked in a run. And then with one out and the bases loaded, the Red Sox waved the white flag and walked off the field. Because in spring training now, you don't actually have to finish the innings under these COVID rules. It's happened to the Red Sox yesterday. If you feel your pitcher's pitch count is getting too high, you just yell over to the other dugout, hey, we're going to stop now. We're going to hit, okay? Yep, no problem. And so that's what happened. So Garrett Richards went out and got three outs in the second inning, but he technically never finished the first.
This sounds like, now this is a Major League Baseball rule change that I can get behind. Can we just concede the runs and walk off the field?
Yeah, they didn't actually even concede the runs. They just gave up two and then walked off.
Oh.
So that was it. I meant to say
better for you.
Oh yeah, totally. No, it's great. It saves some time for you, which is a big thing. And these are the COVID rules. It happened with the Braves today too, that the Braves pitcher on the mound had a long inning, and as Jimmy pointed out, Jeter Downs came to the plate with men on, and the Braves waved over and said, "We're good. Well, you guys can go back out and pitch now." And that was the end of that. But Garrett Richards sucked. He sucked. And so, we have some sound, too, that Jimmy will play here a little bit later. It's not anything earth-shattering. But I just wanted Red Sox fans to know that one of the front-end starters in your rotation made his debut for the team today and sucked lemons.
Why do I think Nathan Eovaldi is your ace, Mess?
Because I think that this guy's track record is better than Eovaldi's if he's healthy. So Eovaldi, to me, is a middle-of-the-rotation, end-of-the-rotation kind of guy. And I got nothing against Eovaldi. I mean, I'll take him as a middle end of the rotation guy, but he's generally been a losing pitcher everywhere he's gone.
And Eddie Rodriguez. I mean, how come those aren't your, you put Garrett Richards ahead of both of them?
Well, I did say Eddie Rodriguez technically is your ace. So I'll concede Rodriguez to you. But Richards is an accomplished big league pitcher. And again, Eddie Rodriguez is, he didn't pitch last year, so I sort of discounted him, which is unfair to him. If Eddie Rodriguez is healthy, he's the best pitcher you've got. He should probably get the ball on opening day. But Richards was their biggest signing of the offseason, and he smelled today. He smelled.
Speaking about goofy new baseball rules, again, that's interesting that they're doing it in spring training. Dan Shaughnessy wrote about this, about things being considered for Major League Baseball in the regular season. He says, a couple of preposterous gimmicks being discussed as MLB contemplates compromising integrity in the interest of speeding up the game for young viewers. Now, I don't know how this speeds up the game, but this is what he wrote. One, they're considering allowing a manager to reset his lineup to put his best hitters at the plate in the ninth inning. So he says we could have a situation where Mike Trout makes the last out of the eighth, then leads off the ninth. And two, the golden at-bat, which allows a manager one situation per game in which he can ignore the lineup and send his best hitter to the plate. Shaughnessy says that he hears Theo Epstein likes this one, and Theo Epstein is now in a position where he is a liaison to the commissioner who's in charge of tweaking the game, improving the game, speeding up the game. I don't know how these measures speed up the game, but how would you feel about that, about allowing the manager to reset the lineup for the top of the ninth inning or a golden at-bat, Mess?
So these have been theorized before, and these go back a number of years. I think Verducci, it was initially the first one to throw some of this stuff out there, and I don't mind it. I mean, honestly, I'm in favor of it, and I'll tell you why. Anything to disrupt the analytics. Anything.
It sounds wacky enough to be interesting.
Yes, anything to disrupt the analytics. This is the whole problem with me now. Baseball's played by the same rules for a long, long time. So there are all these patterns established that the analytics guys can sink their teeth into and say, well, this is, the odds are 73% that we'll get this guy out. So they're going to do it. So you know what? Change the rules. Let them all start scrambling for their numbers again. Let them all start scrambling for sample size and not have data and information at their fingertips that leads them. Then people are actually going to have to make decisions in real time, on the fly, without any history to base it on. That, to me, is when it'll get interesting, so I'm in favor of it.
I just feel like it's something Wiggy would come up with. We're going to line up
a little crazy
yards for a 4-point extra point field goal. Like, I believe me, Maz, I'm with you. I'm in favor of anything that mixes it up in baseball. They desperately need to just, the sport really needs to evolve. And not just tinker, but evolve. That to me feels a little cockeyed, and it doesn't speed the game up. Like that, I don't know what that does to speed the game. How does that speed the game up?
It doesn't.
I mean, it juices the game. it, you know, it gives you a little something, but I think it probably even slows it down a little bit. You're going to, if you're going to bring a better batter in, you know, whether it's three of them by resetting the lineup or just bringing one guy, you're going to get more quality at bats, which means longer at bats and, you know, the pitcher holding the ball longer and all of that versus whether he's, if he's facing the bottom of the order, it's maybe a quicker inning. So, I mean, I think all this maybe even lengthens the game, but what it really needs is just, it needs something different. And so even if it's something I don't like or think that's a little goofy, they should do it, you know, and they should look at it.
So the one thing I'll say about the golden at bat that, you know, what if it's early in the game, you get a team 4-0, you get the bases loaded with two outs and you belt one there. Now it's 6 or 7 or 8. And now you say game over. Right. So do you use it then? Like, there is a little bit of strategy there. And I say a little bit because, again, the analytics guys are going to, this is like the whole, you know, going for it on fourth down. Well, the data shows that you should actually use the golden at bat in the fourth inning because right. The game is more often than not. What? So I can see that one like totally turning into a point of debate with all the nerds. So, you know, again, but I'm for anything. I'm for anything that'll change the whole operation. So they just can't go to charts that they've compiled over decades and know what to do. I don't want people to know what to do. I want them to have to think it out and decide it on the fly. To me, that's when the fun starts.
Okay, there's your baseball minute. To your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Phil Gernandez, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
By all means, not happy about it. You know, today's outing is not what you're going to see from me on a regular basis. I'll tell you that right now. But getting out there for the first time and kind of getting on a 5-day schedule for one as well. Just kind of getting back into my routine. Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, obviously you want to finish an inning. You want to make all the outs that your outing requires. So, yeah, it was a little frustrating, but, you know, that's part of it. You know, this is spring training. I'm not going to make excuses for the way I played today, but, you know, things are definitely trending in the right direction.
Okay, that's Garrett Richards, your big free agent signing in the offseason. And probably your number one pitcher, who sucked today, got yanked before the inning even ended.
Yep.
That was his reaction to it. So, you know what we use spring training for, Maz? We only bring it up if you suck.
Correct.
If you succeed, it doesn't count. It's just spring training. But if you blow, it's a harbinger of bad things to come.
That is correct. Yep, it can only hurt you. That is my rule when it comes to preseason, at least as it pertains to anybody playing. It can only hurt. It can't help. If you play well in the preseason, my attitude is I don't give a rat's ass. Show me in the spring. Show me in April when it matters. If you play poorly, you suck.
Correct. So we are being consistent with that one. Back to your calls on everything. Alan in California. Alan, are you there?
Hi, guys. Hey, I just wanted to mention, I think the Patriots management's probably licking their chops at the kind of bargain basement they're going to have towards the end of the whole free agency period. So what do you guys think about that?
I think it's overrated and fool's gold, and I don't know why you people still take the sausage on that. Seriously. Like, the whole money thing, it's enough, Maz, to just, it goes right up my caboose. Oh, the team has brainwashed you people so badly. And was last year not enough? Last year didn't register with you at all. So the Patriots not spending smart, everyone else spending stupid. Like, you still believe that.
Oh yeah, no. Again, it's going to be a smorgasbord of bargains for the Patriots at the end of this thing.
It was never true. It was never true. This is, folks, the reason you won, in order, the reasons you won are in order. 1, the brilliance of Tom Brady as a quarterback. 2, Belichick's acumen as a coach. 2nd, okay? The rest of it is all superfluous, okay? Now you've lost the quarterback, and all you're left with is Belichick's coaching. How did that work out? What did that get you?
Well, see, it was a COVID year, though, Mike. It was a one-off. It doesn't really count. So, you know, they'll be back. Everything's going to be fine in 2021.
You know, I do love how people talk about the bargains like it's their money.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, like it's their money. So, again, this goes back to, I told you, that of all the comments that have been made about the Patriots and their brilliance and everything, the one that completely just washed up my backside like a freaking tsunami was the one that Adam Schefter made about how they only had 2.7 committed to quarterback. And boy, look at everybody else. Wow, the Cowboys are spending $31.4 million on Dak Prescott.
For a good quarterback.
Idiots.
Yeah, Dallas is dumb because they have a good quarterback. You're smart because you have none.
Meanwhile, you went out there with 2.75 million of quarterbacks who sucked and sucked royally. One of them couldn't throw. The other one, got inside the 20-yard line in Kansas City and actually right there in Arrowhead Stadium, crapped his pants on the 20-yard line. Crapped. The third guy, who's a rookie, looks like he's still playing Pop Warner. He's not anywhere close to being ready for the NFL. What a joke.
Hearing people go on about the Cardinals, it's just Zoe started me off today. But it's like I feel it in the ether, you know, with the calls, the emails. It's like, oh, Carolina, stupid. All right, not Carolina, Arizona, the Cardinals. The Cardinals, stupid. Cardinals are stupid. Like, who are you? Who are you? So you still think you're one of the smart ones? You let the greatest quarterback of all time, who's still got something left in the tank, go for Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer. And now a year later, you still don't have a quarterback. You're actually debating whether it should be Ryan Fitzpatrick or Alex Smith, and you're the smart ones? Meanwhile, Arizona's stupid because they're spending a little money to go try and put themselves over the top for a good player.
Dumb.
They're dumb. Oh, my God.
They're stupid.
And you're salivating at all the bargain basement, you know, good free agents you'll be able to sign for cheap dollars. Like, what do you care what they cost? What does that have to do with you? Ron in Texas. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, guys. So I'm a baseball fan, and I obviously want the game to be sped up also, and I'm with you on that, Dogger. Matt, I got this idea. Just let me know if it'll fly. I don't even know if you guys talked about it, but I'm thinking about, you know, I look at the NFL with the headset, with the, you know, the speaker and the catcher's helmet. Why aren't we, you know,
yes,
the pitch calls come in from that angle right there?
Yes, your phone blows. But yes, 1,000 times yes. As opposed to all this mess, you know how much time with all the sign stealing and all this nonsense? With the shaking the guy off and the 14,000 different signals and the guy on second base looking in and all that whole thing, you eliminate with the earpiece. That's it. You know, or some sort of tapping device, something, some piece of technology that just gets the pitch to the pitcher, and we can eliminate all this nonsensory out there with the guys looking them off, shaking them off, going through signs, resetting signs, them not getting on the same page, the catcher standing up, calling timeout, waddling out there for 2 minutes to get the signals right in the middle of a 4-hour baseball game. Just tell him what to throw in his ear and throw the ball.
Oh, I'm for it. Listen, again, the voice thing, I don't know if it's going to work because the batter's standing right next to the catcher.
Right.
So, but the flashing lights thing, that remember like a sequence of lights? that? They've tinkered with that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the Marvin machine out there.
Yeah, or, totally.
What is that game?
Merlin. Merlin.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Simon.
Whatever it takes.
Like Close Encounters of the Third Kind out there.
Nerds. Nerds out there. Come out with it. Figure that out. Get your noses out of the spreadsheet for a second and come up with some sort of electronic way to get the pitch selection out to the pitcher without them having to finger themselves for tip.
Simon Merlin Murray. I knew it was some nerdy name.
Something like that. Oh, but it's true. The amount of time spent dinking around with the curveball in the dirt, fastball up and away. Just get it to him some other way. Mark in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, but I
sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
You know, you got to admit, this leading up to the draft and free agency, this has been a great season. But one of the things I'm curious is, John Lynch, I can't figure this guy out. I mean, honest to God, I can't figure him out. I mean, does he flip a coin by saying, oh, you know, heads, I love Jimmy G, then tails, I don't like you? I mean, if I were Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd say, you know, either poop or get off the pot, you know? I mean, you know, do you want me or not, or is there something going on? I'm just curious on your take on this.
Sure, yeah. I can see Garoppolo feeling that way, but he has no rights. I mean, he doesn't call the shot. The Niners call the shot. He does have a no-trade clause, so he could, you know, screw with them like that. But, I mean, I sort of feel that way about the Niners, too. I don't think they're all in. I mean, I think they know his win-loss record. And I think that they don't want to take a step back just to take a step back. You know, they think, you know, they must be stupid. They don't they're okay with the salary, it feels like. But I don't know. Either you're all in or you're not all in. And I think you're probably better off as an organization to be all in with someone versus this thing they are with Jimmy, which is like three quarters in. We'd like you unless there's something better out there.
Don't you think Lynch and Shanahan are in disagreement there fundamentally?
Feels like it.
Like Lynch traded for him, right? So Lynch is probably going to be, defended a little bit more. Whereas Shanahan plays him in, you know, games that doesn't let him throw. So, like, I sort of don't see the point in having a $25 million quarterback if you're not going to let him throw the ball. Like, what's the point of that?
That's another good point. All right, Reentry Monday continues the NFL stuff. Oh, God, we can go back to that whole thing. But that's no joke. I think they need to do it versus these pitcher-catcher meetings. Just send them some sort of signal. Okay, Bill Belichick only wants a quarterback if he's cheap and kisses his ass, but that makes the Patriots smart. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are spending money. They're stupid. That's on the board. We did a Bruins minute. We did a Red Sox minute. And we'll get to the Celtics next. They won yesterday. They pulled out a game late, and I still really don't like them. So, okay, there we go. Fake win. Another fake win for the Celtics we'll discuss after 90 seconds of an update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.